set on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this absolutely terrific Thursday, June 5th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Text line open 231-360-5140. Please store that in your phone as Trucker Randy and send me a text anytime you're listening to the live show, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. Any comments relevant to the conversation, greatly appreciate it. One of the other short little stories I want to mention real quick, maybe we'll get into this in the bottom of the half hour, is the Senate health policies and what they are doing in response to potentially what is coming from Washington, D.C., or better yet, what's not coming from Washington, D.C., is money. One of the things that they're looking at is certain restrictions on Medicaid, as laid out by the U.S. House Budget Reconciliation Bill. Well, one of the state senators, Sylvia Santana, Democrat from Detroit, is chair of the Senate Budget Making Subcommittee for Health and Human Services. She said, "Never, ever, ever in my time in office did I imagine we would be having this conversation at this juncture, when under a Republican-led governor and legislature, we expanded Healthy Michigan." That was during Rick Snyder's governorship. One of the state reps at the time, Frank Foster for the 107th, and Mike Shirky down in Jackson, spearheaded the effort in the House. The expansion of Medicaid in the state of Michigan under the My Healthy Michigan plan put hundreds of thousands of people on our Medicaid system. Well, Santana goes on to say, "We've been through a 100-year pandemic with the China virus, and to me, the taxpayers around the state and around the country have overwhelmingly said they do not want any cuts to Medicaid and access to health care for all." Of course, again, she was referring to during Republican Governor Rick Snyder's administration, with the Republican-controlled legislature approving the expansion of Medicaid's eligibility. In exchange, the state of Michigan accessed larger federal matches, money, dollars from Washington, that was offered as an incentive to do so. Eligibility in Michigan went from 35% to 133% of the federal poverty level. It happened roughly about 11 years ago. Well, in late May, the U.S. House moved a mega bill to the Senate, bankrolling higher U.S. border security and tax cuts, as the plan looks to downsize federal spending over the next 10 years. They're looking at tightening Medicaid eligibility to the states, and they're also looking at the use of provider taxes, which have been accused by critics of inflating states' Medicaid matches from the federal government. Well, in the Senate Health Policy Committee, they heard testimony for about 2 hours of what they did in Washington. You know what? We're going to put this on hold. We've got a guest coming on in the next segment. We'll pick this back up after the bottom of the hour news at 10:35. Short break from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
From County Conservative Union's 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an iron pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Everybody, welcome back into the show, the second segment of hour number two. Joining us now on the line on a road trip, Jonathan Deek, Institute for Family Justice, is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy.
Where are you headed this morning, sir?
Oh, I'm headed to Washington, D.C.
Oh, good. What's going on there?
There's a parental rights rally happening tomorrow at the National Mall. And so I've been asked to provide some PA and stuff for that and batteries, so I'm coming out there to go and support the rally.
Oh, very cool. And what particular organization or group is hosting this event in Washington, D.C. tomorrow?
I don't believe there's any specific group. It's just a bunch of people all coming together that have been going through this for a long time. And
we okay.
just decided to go out there and meet. So there's many different people all coming together. There's going to be several speakers. And, you know, it's just put on basically by the large community of parents that have been affected by this issue across the nation.
Too cool. Too cool. I didn't realize that this was being organized tomorrow and didn't realize it was happening. So safe travels and good luck with that. And we'll have to get a field report from you when you check back in with us. One of the things I did want to talk about with you today, and I had a lady contact me after the show last week. And I was driving to a business appointment, and she called me actually on my cell phone, and she was kind of shocked that I actually answered the phone. She was going to leave me a voicemail. But she was very upset because her daughter has been going through a divorce for a couple of years with her ex-husband. And one of the things that they are having issues with is the ex-husband in picking up the children for visitation rights seems to be, according to them anyway, exposing the children to things that they don't necessarily agree with. And I don't want to get into the details on the show, but some of it has to do with certain types of sexual activities and drugs and alcohol and different things like that. Your experience and all the people that you've talked to, this happens both ways. Sometimes it's the mother who actually has custody. Sometimes it happens on weekends when the fathers get their visitation rights. Basically, Jonathan, when you are people contact you and seek your advice, your counsel, these types of situations do occur quite a bit in dealing with children and dealing with divorced parents. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. That's something that's a very hot topic. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of times people will be upset that their partner has found somebody new or the whatever, or there's lots of allegations of drug use and alcohol use, which sometimes is true and sometimes is completely not true, you know, and it's very difficult to know what the answer is for that. You know, personally, of my own personal experience, you know, I don't want my children meeting a laundry list of potential girlfriends, right? You know, I don't want my children meeting a woman until I'm ready to marry her. That way they know some sense of stability, right? They don't need to be getting attached to different people and then losing that attachment. It's not healthy for them.
Right. Well, in the other aspect of this, in this woman is, in talking with me, she said, you know, drinking and alcohol, drugs, you know, being used and things like that, she said, is not something, you know, a 7 and a 5-year-old should be exposed to. And I said, okay, so what have you guys done in the past? And they said, well, they reached out to the friend of the court, they reached out to law enforcement, and they said basically that they contacted, I think it was the friend of the court who actually reached out to the dad. And he denied those allegations. So it's, again, he said, she said. So how do we get through this issue? Probably a divorce that was bitter the way it ended. And one of the parents trying to use the kids against the other parent coming up with these allegations. How do we get to the bottom line of this? What is a solution or a way you think we could improve on this in dealing with this situation?
Well, sure. I think we need to change the standard in which we separate children from their parents. We can't keep using the preponderance of evidence or clear and convincing standard, which preys upon these false allegations. If a parent is going to be denied access to that child, that parent needs to be proved that they're unfit such that there's some kind of criminal charge pending, or they're convicted, really convicted of a criminal charge for being a bad parent. Because no parent is perfect. Every parent makes a mistake. And there are parents that get together that drink alcohol. right? That doesn't mean it's a bad thing, right? Overconsumption of alcohol can be very bad. But, you know, these things that when they're people are in a relationship together, that they're fine with when they're together, all of a sudden becomes a problem when they're no longer together. That's very concerning, right? You know, what really matters is like the health and welfare of the children. And if a parent's unable to manage whatever it is they're doing, you know, such that they're not good for the children, that should coincide with a criminal conviction.
So you're saying actual investigation by police authorities, finding out whether or not this is actually happening, and then if there is from that investigation, they turn it over to a prosecutor and actually bring charges, and then they have their day in court and try to defend themselves.
Absolutely, because that's what our law, that's what our nation was built upon, right? Built upon being able to face your accuser and having an honorable system. If you're all of a sudden deciding that people can be deprived of their liberty, interest in their child without a trial, without a fair hearing, then, you know, we've lost all of the fundamental pillars of our nation. Because if there's anything that's valuable to this nation, the single most valuable thing to this nation is our children.
Yeah, absolutely. The foundation, and it's our posterity, it's our future, and we need to protect them and make sure that they're taken care of and raised properly. But again, divorce is a ugly thing, and it causes lots of problems and situations that you have to deal with. And that's why basically you guys have put together this Institute for Family Justice.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're doing. Because I see the pitfalls in the court where the best of intentions have gone sideways and why things need to be changed. That's why we need the right to representation in family court. This is why we need the right to a trial by jury in family court. This is why we need to raise the standard to beyond a reasonable doubt. Because these are huge pitfalls and these liberty interests aren't being protected the way they should be according to the Constitution.
So basically what you're saying, and this would basically make these courts and these type of allegations and hearings and things like this basically put it on par with the actual criminal justice system that we have currently and been operating for years since the beginning of time, basically, founding of our country. These are the same type of, I guess you would say, legal processes that you think need to be applied to the family justice situation.
Absolutely. I believe that they are incorrectly stating that this is a civil matter. Civil matters are where you're fighting over some dollars or a piece of property. What's happened in family court is parents are being accused of being a bad parent, and because they're not a bad parent, which is equivalent to a crime, they're being denied access to their children, and their children are being denied access to their parent. Children are not a building. Children are not dollars in a bank account. Children are far more valuable, and we are literally accusing parents of being criminals, such that they're not allowed to be parents.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely,
they're entitled to the same heightened protections as if they're being incarcerated in jail.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to give out the website right now. If you guys would like to go to the website, check out Institute for Family Justice. Very simple. I for Institute, the number 4FJ.com. I, the number 4FJ.com. There you'll find the information about Jonathan's organization, the board members, the way this has been set up. I did have somebody ask, and I want to make sure we get point of clarification on this. You're not an attorney, and you are not giving legal advice to people. Is that also an accurate statement?
Yeah, I'm not an attorney. Absolutely no. No, but I do legal research for people, right? I talk to LexisNexis about this. It's no problem. They ask me the question. I put it into LexisNexis AI. LexisNexis AI gives me a printout, and I give it to them, and they either read it or give it to their attorney. I'm like a law librarian.
Ah, very good. Got it. Point of clarification on that. Okay, good. Well, one of the things that I think, and this is very near and dear to my heart, because I have been doing this show now for 13 years. And in that process, I get people that contact me all the time about different issues, things that they're dealing with, children that have gone awry, they're addicted to drugs, they're dealing with, you know, some unruly people and friends. What should I do? What do you think I should do? And I'm like, okay, not my area of expertise. So we've always been looking for a place to refer people to to say, hey, give this person a call, go to their website, check this out. So this is something that I greatly appreciate you doing. The bottom line is, ultimately, explain to the folks your mission statement, basically what you're hoping to accomplish, the direction you're going to be taking the Institute for Family Justice.
Sure. Well, I'm already doing phase one support where I'm just, you know, counseling parents going through this. Once we get enough funding, we're going to get some lawyers on the team. They're going to develop model motions to be used in the lower courts to help, you know, to help litigate these rights that we want to enforce and restore. And then we will be providing pro bono appellate representation for these cases, and we'll be taking them to the Supreme Court, ideally getting the Supreme Court to weigh in to restore these rights and to say, absolutely, if a child's going to be denied access to their parent or a parents can lose access to their kids, that they should be afforded representation. You know, absolutely, the right to a trial by jury is, it should be for this. Because, you know, they say in the Constitution, if the matter in controversy is greater than $20, you have the right to a trial by jury, even in a civil trial. Well, Michigan likes to ignore that for all civil stuff right now, you know, for civil infractions, even though it's $20. And let me tell you what, who thinks their child is worth less than $20? Those are priceless. Absolutely priceless. And so we need to restore that right. And so we will be litigating that right to the Supreme Court as soon as we can.
And ultimately, having them make perhaps a transformational change in family courts and granting these rights to parents, and where they actually do have to have trials, present your evidence under grounds of perjury, and actually present your case, your arguments, and then, like you say, potentially have a jury make a decision as to who's right and who's wrong.
Absolutely, because right now we have just these single judges deciding the fates of the family. And those judges are people, too. They have good days, they have bad days, days where they're not paying attention as much, you know? And so that's why we have the right to a trial by jury, so you have many eyes looking at the situation. So you have people to talk it over and discuss it, because people see things from a different point of view. That's one of the great things that the jury brings to the justice system, is the opinions and the discussion. And right now we only have single judge deciding the fate of the community. And really, it should be the community deciding the fate of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, we appreciate the efforts. I'm also going to give out the phone number. If you'd like to call Jonathan or any member of his team, the phone number is 231-330-6825. Again, 231-330-6825 is the number. And the website, the number 4FJ.com is the website, Institute for Family Justice. So, Jonathan, greatly appreciate you reporting in today. Safe travels to your event, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Franny. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
You too, sir. Bye-bye. One of the things I think that people need to understand is this is a very delicate, delicate situation. Puts their entire family, the mom, the dad, the kids, but also the grandparents. You know, you got to remember, if these are younger people, perhaps their mom and dads are still alive. Well, now you got two grandpas and two grandmas involved in this situation. And those are usually the people that hear my show and give me a call asking for assistance, guidance, direction. Who should we talk to? Should we talk to a state rep? Should we talk to a state senator? Who can we deal with at the local county level? Is it the prosecutor? We're not happy about what's going on. The friend of the court isn't dealing with it properly. Well, Institute for Family Justice, potential somebody to talk to and get some answers, get some direction. That's it for this half hour, bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.